I'm Robert Colangelo. This is Green Sense, a podcast dedicated to eco-innovation. And this week, we'll focus on a new approach to activism.
I'm executive producer Bob Kessler. That's this week's interview. But Robert, we always like to look around the news and see what's happening in environmental sustainability, if you will, even though we're kind of wondering about what's happening with that particular word. But here's from Forbes, 11 fashion companies leading the way in sustainability. This is a fact I did not know. 88% of consumers want brands to be more environmentally friendly, whatever that means. They want them to do something. The fashion industry production releases 10% of the world's carbon emissions. That is more than international flights and maritime shipping combined. So it's a huge sector, 20% of all water pollution worldwide. So they've been doing a lot. Different brands are coming out with things like Rothy's, you know, has been sustainable in the way they do shoes. Levi's, you know, well-known brand, is changing the way they're doing some things. Nordstrom now selling used clothing. I don't know. Has this gotten you to make different choices, you know, when it comes to fashion? For me, it has. I buy more used stuff than I ever did.
From my perspective, Bob, I think it's the technologies that we're interested in. And when I look at Levi's, they're claiming that they're going to use up to 96% less water for all their products. And it's amazing how much water it takes to make a pair of blue jeans. So I'm really curious to see what kind of innovations have trickled into manufacturing to make the clothing industry more sustainable. I know HMM is also doing some innovative things out there. They're looking at eco-friendly fabrics and production methods. So again, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. As far as myself personally, you know, I like natural materials. And so you're starting to see more of that being used too by some of the manufacturers.
So polyester pants from the 70s.
Don't go.
Although they are doing a lot with you know, plastic-based and fiber stuff that comes from recycled plastic, so that, which is probably technically polyester. They do look cool.
And there's a myriad of issues around clothing manufacturing, from, you know, labor to ethically sourcing materials, you know, to the manufacturing process. So I think this is an area that we should definitely look into and really focus on the eco-innovations that are making clothing more sustainable.
All right, we'll do that. But first, we have this week's conversation to get to.
Activism uses vigorous campaigning to bring about social change and has been a key element for many important movements, including voting rights, worker rights, civil rights, and the environment. The way we approach activism has also been changing, and one group leading the way is Extinction Rebellion, or XR. David O'Donnell works with the Chicago chapter of Extinction Rebellion and joins us now. David, welcome to Green Sense.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
What made you want to be part of XR?
Well, I've been an environmental activist off and on, and also just involved in the movement for sustainability for many years. I was a deputy commissioner at the City of Chicago's Department of Environment, where we drafted the city's climate action plan. So I've worked both outside and inside government. And I had been away from activism and sustainability for a little while just because my job sort of demanded it. But I took a sabbatical with my wife and daughter and traveled for about 8 months. And during that time, I sort of returned to my values around environmentalism and around fighting climate change. And I did some work around grieving what I feel is the climate catastrophe and the climate crisis that we're in the middle of. And just like any time you have a good cry, I sort of emerged from that cry thinking, okay, what now? And when I looked around, I saw Extinction Rebellion shutting down central London for about 8 days and successfully getting the British Parliament to declare a climate emergency. And I was inspired by that action and by the demands and the principles and values behind the movement. So I looked around, found out there was a Chicago chapter, and got involved.
What have you learned about the climate crisis since becoming involved in XR?
Well, I don't know that I've learned a ton more in terms of the science. I think what I've learned is a different way of thinking about the science and telling the story of the science. So at Extinction Rebellion, we lead a little bit less with the idea that, you know, here are the kind of here's the scientific data about emissions and the technocratic solutions to and pathways to staying below, you know, 1.5 degrees of warming. And we talk more about it as the way parents think about risk and their children. So, you know, if we have, depending on what report you're reading, a 60% chance of staying below 1.5 or even 2 degrees of warming, if we start, you know, massive greenhouse gas mitigation work now, that 60% chance of probability, you know, it's just a number. But the way we think about it is more like the recent issue with the 737, right? A plane went down. The actual probabilities of another plane going down were probably pretty low, but the world said that's unacceptable. That level of risk is unacceptable. And they grounded every 737 in the world, even though Boeing didn't want them to do that until we figured out the problem. It's a little bit like a bunch of parents standing around a really busy street with three-year-old toddlers walking near the busy street, and a bunch of parents are, you know, debating, well, what's the actual probability of that three-year-old child being hit by a car right when she steps into the street? Should we really act? We don't think that's how you act in that situation. How you act in that situation is you run and you grab that kid and you pull her to safety. And so we think that Extinction Rebellion, what we're talking about, is trying to catalyze a sense of crisis and a sense of and a need and an urgency around the need to just begin acting now.
Well, playing devil's advocate, how do you respond to the notion that activism just gets in people's way? It makes them not want to support your cause.
By activism, do you mean civil disobedience or disruption?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the...
I might even throw in passive protesting, too. If you're blocking entrances to buildings, you know, there's definitely maybe a stigma attached to activism. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, there's a sociologist and a professor by the name of Chenoweth, Lisa Chenoweth, who's done a lot of work looking at mass movements for change throughout history, where, you know, think of the Indian independence from British colonial rule, the American civil rights movement, ending apartheid, you know, massive movements for change. And she's looked at the data and identified that if nonviolent direct action or civil disobedience is more effective than armed insurrection, okay, good. But B, she identified a number of about 3.5% of the population. If you have 3.5% of the population in the streets willing to put their bodies on the line for whatever they believe in or for the change they're trying to make happen, change happens. And so it's a small number of people, but what happens when that happens is there's a small number of people who were, you know, coming down from the north or activists in the south during the sit-ins. The broader conversation in the whole culture, in the society, starts to shift. And people say, well, if you're willing to, you know, go up against Bull Connor and his fire hoses, what you believe in must be really, really important. And so the kind of zeitgeist of the country begins to shift and makes it possible for Johnson to pass the Civil Rights Act. So we believe that you need to create some disruption, do something that's more than just asking people in power to change, but actually reach out and touch the system we're trying to change, the transportation system, the banking system, the halls of government, and try to actually put your hands on the levers of power. And when you do that, change actually happens.
This show's about eco-innovation. What's changed about activism in the recent past, and how are you approaching activism differently?
That's a great question. I don't know that I'm not like a scholar of activism.
Let me rephrase that. How is XR approaching it differently?
We're demanding different things with regards to that issue. And then I think what's different is, really looking to bring spectacle to our activism. So not just, a group of people marching down a street, raising their fists in the air, being angry, but right. Extinction Rebellion put a huge pink sailboat that said, tell the truth on it in the middle of a bridge over the Thames. They have a mime troupe. It's like about 25 people in full red called the Red Brigade, like red robes and rags with white faces that just march silently and kind of bear witness. On Thursday this week, we're going to be holding a funeral for Mother Earth outside the Illinois Commerce Commission, using dead branches and women in veils, and black animals from the Amazon, to tell a story that isn't just a visual story, that really begins to be more metaphoric and less just we're a bunch of angry protesters in the street.
That's what I was getting at. So I'm glad that you shared some concrete examples of how things have changed. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes there's a stigma with activism, but if you take new approaches, use new technologies, your message can get better received. And that's what it's all about. It's changing people's minds and attitudes. Any other examples of what's changing in the innovations that are being applied to activism?
Yeah, I mean, I think, if innovation is the ability to, the word comes out of business, right? So if it's the ability to read the market and anticipate where it's going and come up with new ideas or new approaches in response to kind of dynamic situations, that's one thing that's really interesting about activism, right? So we've been working for over a year, about a year intensely here in Chicago, and our first demand is declare a climate emergency. And the city of Chicago declared a climate emergency last week. Okay, brief pause for us to like feel satisfied that that happened. And then we're like, okay, now what are you guys going to actually act like it's an emergency? Like, what's next? Are you going to actually begin planting hundreds of thousands of trees? Are you going to begin passing ordinances that actually begin to draw down emissions and cause some pain for the business community and the private community? And do you have the courage to do that? So we need to be watching how the systems we're trying to change respond. I mean, the most important thing that you can be doing is voting and ensuring that we have a administration next January that in 2021 that is committed to massive climate action. So if that's all you're going to do that, but maybe make sure you bring 10 friends to the polls and vote. So that's important. Being part, giving some money to your favorite environmental cause, also important. Getting a small group of people together to work on, composting in your condo building, or you know, calling your state rep in Illinois to make sure they pass the Clean Energy Jobs Act. These things are all really important, and not everybody is willing to shut down a street or blockade a building. So we're not asking everybody to do that. That's that 3.5% of the people in the population that we want to activate to do that kind of activism. But so, you know, maybe not all your listeners are game for that, but maybe some of them are. And if they are, we would invite them to join us or join Extinction Rebellion in whatever city you're in. And get, you know, if you believe that we are actually in the middle of the, you know, the early stages of the sixth mass extinction, then act like you, that we are. That's innovation. I mean, we're literally facing potentially, I mean, it's a risk, the end of life on Earth. So either that's true or it's not true. And if it is true, then we need to be acting like it's true.
That's David O'Donnell with the Chicago chapter of Extinction Rebellion joining us on Green Sense. You can subscribe to our podcast at greensensefarms.com and be sure to listen for the Green Sense Minute every Thursday on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM Chicago.